Good evening. You know people care about God when they miss the Super Bowl. The fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's quite understandable why it's listed as first, isn't it? How does it feel when a friend treats you right? How does it feel when someone is kind to you and they don't expect anything back from you? How does it feel to be loved? Picture in your head right now a moment when you know, without a doubt, that you're in love. Just picture that in your head for a second. And realize this. You can give this feeling. Most of us, I can't speak for everybody, but I would think most of us grew up in a circle of love with our family at home. And that from our earliest years. I can't remember, and Stefan's here, but I'll say it anyways, when he was a baby. I'm trying to think. I think I did change diapers before that time, but not many. Believe me, and most of you know this by now, changing diapers is a sign of great love. But at one time, someone changed our diapers, didn't they? And can parents always expect that kids will one day repay them for changing all those diapers? But yet, they did it. Most of our needs were met, were they not? We were fed. Now, I couldn't drink milk. When I was a baby, I had a terrible allergy to milk. And my mom, she had to travel all over. And finally, it was in Texas. She had to go from California to Texas to find a soy product that I could drink. And my dad said it was brown and looked terrible, but boy, did I drink it. Why did they do that? They cared about it. When I was too helpless to do anything for myself, somebody cared enough to do something about or for me. My mom said I was a cry. She said I would cry and cry until finally they found this brown soy stuff that I would drink and could drink that didn't make me sick. As the years passed, relatives and friends helped shape my definition of love, and I'm sure yours as well. Through their unselfish concern for me. Even when friends told me things that I didn't want to hear, they did it because they cared about me. We know what love is like. We know it should be unselfish. We know it should meet the needs of others because we care and because we don't expect nothing back. That's why it's so remarkable when we meet someone who is neither family nor friend, and yet they love us unselfishly. The Bible teaches us. A lot of us say, wait a second, I don't understand this point. But the Bible teaches us. Love your enemies. People that don't care. Those people who would love to see you hurt. The Bible says, love even your enemies. This is a high goal, isn't it, Willie? To like people and love... No, no, not to like people. To love people who don't care about us. But when you begin to see this love forming within yourself, you will know for certain that God is alive in you, because love is a fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit of God. Let's just go ahead and read it. It's Matthew 5, 44 through 48. Matthew 5, 44 through 48. Hard words from Jesus, I think. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who hurt you. If you do this, you will be true children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on good people and on evil people. And he sends rain to those who do right and to those who do wrong. If you love only the people who love you, you will get no reward. Even the tax collectors do that. And if you are nice only to your friends, you are no better than other people. Even those who don't know God are nice to their friends. So you must be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Have you ever asked yourself why God is so good to people who don't believe in Him? Why does He send rain to them? Why does He bless them sometimes financially and with good families? There's only one answer, isn't there? What is that answer? God loves them. He is love. And I think that goes to the core of His very nature. But He cares even about those who don't care for God. That's something atheists just can't understand, that God loves them, even though they don't believe in Him. Who has seen God? Outside of through others. Has anyone personally seen God? The Bible says He's invisible. But you know, how do people see God? Through others. How so? Through us, but if we are Christ-like, or when we are Christ-like, it's through our actions of unselfish love. That's the point I'm getting to. Because I know sometimes I'm not always nice to people who aren't nice to me. And I've had to stop myself at times and remind myself, just because they're not being nice to me is no reason for me not to be nice to them. Because people see God through acts of kindness, acts of love, when they know that we're not going to get anything from that. That's how people see God. People say, you know, this and this happened to me, and where was God? He was probably sitting in the pew on Sunday morning. But no one cared to go do anything to show the love of God. Who is God's feet? Who are God's hands? Who is His mouthpiece here on earth? Who is supposed to show the love of God? Is it not us? Those who sit in the pews on Sunday and sometimes Sunday night or Wednesday nights? If we do nothing, how can they see the love of God? We are His children. We are His people. We have God living within us. And I'm sure we all know of people who need to see God. People who need love. People who need kindness shown to them, and people who probably won't give it back to us, at least maybe not right away. This is what God wants and expects of us. You can be the one who reveals God to people who don't believe in Him. Your love will make Him known. It was read to us, but let's go ahead and read another. Let's read part of it again. I don't know if you can remember everything that Mark read. He read a big piece there that I gave him. But some good stuff here from God. Let's read verse 7 to 12 here. This is 1 John chapter 4. Dear friends, we should love each other because love comes from God. Everyone who loves has become God's child and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love to us. He sent His one and only Son into the world so that we could have life through Him. This is what real love is. It is not our love for God, it is God's love for us. He sent His Son to die in our place to take away our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us that much, we should love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and His love is made perfect in us. We know that we live in God, and He lives in us, because He gave us His Spirit. And I read one more verse, and I said, if you know someone loves you, if you know that this love is unchanging, it won't change. No matter what you do, this person will still love you. How does that make you feel? First off, doesn't it relax us a little bit? That's the word I was trying to think of. It gives us the feeling of security. No matter, and I think children have this feeling toward their parents. No matter how bad I am, for the most part, my parents will love me still. And there are kids that I know who have fallen off into drugs and gone into prison. And for the most part, their parents still love them. They're not happy, they're sad. But they love that child. Maybe they're the only ones who visit that child when it's in prison or in a hospital or lost in drugs. You feel more at home when you know that someone's going to always love you no matter what. You don't feel so, I have to be good type. I can't touch that. I can't do. There's a more relaxed feeling. We know that unselfish love lets us be who we are. This is the love God has for us. I dare say no one in here could raise their hand if I ask if there's anyone here tonight that hasn't sinned this week. But you know, God still loves us. Despite our weaknesses, despite our faults, despite the fact that He knows we knew better, God loves us. And that is not going to change because it's His nature. It's who and what God is. A love that doesn't give up. A love that is ready to sacrifice. A love that is patient. Now, one day God will send His angels. There is a day that God will judge those who don't believe. But look at how long God has given and is giving mankind to repent. Why? The Bible says He is not willing that even one should perish. And so He keeps loving. And He has given us a job to do, to love people that they might see and know that He is God. And as we learn of the love of God personally, and learn that He will always love us, we begin to feel at home with God. We begin to want to come to church on Sunday and worship God and be with His people. We want then to do good things in return. We begin to change our lives. When you know someone loves you and cares for you, people tend to give in. Stefan let me sit him to the hair place and then cut the hair out of his eyes once. I don't think he wanted to, but he let me do it. About time again, no. But that's because he knows I love and care for him. And so he lets me change him in that way. You know, that's what God is about. Loving us and thereby bringing us to change because we want to please God and love Him back. It has become easy to trust Him because we know He is always there for us. We know that He has our best interests in mind. Because isn't that what love is all about? Seeking the best interests of others? And I was trying to explain to a woman in Germany. She says, I just can't love my enemies. They're despicable people. How can I? And I said, I don't know your conception of love. It doesn't mean you have to go and hug and kiss these people. To love people means to have their best in your head. What would be good for these people? Sometimes telling them the truth is good for them. Sometimes taking them food is good for them. But their best interest, we seek their best interest because of this love. That's what to love means. It doesn't mean this pitter-patter feeling. I don't have to have this pitter-patter feeling for all my enemies. Just their best interest in mind. How can I help them to know God? Because they need to know God if they want to be saved. I want to copy the reliable love of God. And that means I strive to treat my friends right. That means I particularly strive to treat my family right. I try to spend time with my wife and my son. Can't spend time with my daughter. It's kind of hard flipping back and forth to Germany. But Mari and I, we just bought her a new computer because hers broke down. It was a little over $900. By the time you add all the interest and junk, and it was almost $1,000 for a laptop computer for college. Well, that's love, isn't it, Willie? To send a child that much money for a computer. Because they're more expensive in Germany. But I try to treat my family correct. I try to keep their best interest in mind. And sometimes that means saying no, doesn't it? True love will say no sometimes. But because of the love of God, His reliable love, I want my love to be reliable. I want my family and friends to know they are loved and appreciated. I want my love to earn their trust that they can feel at home and comfortable with me. When I encounter misunderstanding, when I am impatient, when I am misunderstood, when I am tempted to act selfishly, I must learn to ask myself, what would reliable love do in this situation? How would God handle it? Let's read verses 13 through 17. We know that we live in God and He lives in us because He gave us His Spirit. We have seen and can testify that the Father sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God has God living inside. And that person lives in God. And so we know love and so we know the love that God has sent for us. I can't read tonight. And so we know the love that God has for us. And we trust that love. God is love. Those who live in love live in God. And God lives in them. This is how love is made perfect in us, that we can be without fear on the day God judges us, because in this world we are like Him. I know God loves me. And I know that I love God. I am not worried about the judgment. Most people, when you say judgment, what do most people think of? I'm in trouble. Don't we really? If my mom ever said, Monty Allen Renner, what did I do? Usually I knew what I did. But whenever my mom used my entire name, I was in trouble because I did something. And sometimes if I knew what I did was real bad, I knew a spanking was coming and I was frightened. I hated spankings. My mom could spank hard, believe me. She might have been a little lady, but boy, she had a strong arm. But I'm not afraid of judgment. No, I'm not perfect. I know that, JC. I make mistakes. I let you fall off a ladder. I shouldn't have been over there digging a hole. I should have been by you. And I thought about that. I said, I should be there by JC when he's on that ladder. But JC sent me over to dig a hole. And so I was obedient and I did it. I felt bad for a long time, JC. Not your fault, though. But I'm not afraid of judgment day. I know I'm not perfect, but I know that God's love is reliable. He is trustworthy. He has promised that if I give my life to Jesus, if I let myself be baptized, if I strive to live a Christian life and work with the Spirit, that I will be given a new body on Judgment Day. And so, I don't fear judgment. God wants what's best for me. God is love. Think about those three words. God is love. What do you think? God is love. Isn't that amazing? God is love. Of all the words that could be used to describe God, I think these three touch me the most. God is love. It tells me that even though at times when things don't seem to be going my way, that God is love. He cares, and He is looking out for my best, even if I don't think so. I can know that. I can trust that. What do we say? I can take it to the bank. Well, today it may not be safe to take it to a bank. It might be better to put it in your mattress. But God is love. No matter what is going on in the world, God cares for me. He cares for all people, but He particularly cares for His church. God loves me and He is seeking my best interest in all that He does. So I trust Him when things don't go quite as I would like. Now here's an astounding thing. I didn't count exactly, but about 30 words later, in verse 17, John says, in this world, we are like Him. Wow. God is love. In this world, we are like Him. Let those words sink in. In this world, you can be like God, sharing this characteristic of God, reminding others of Him. He loves us. We have no need to fear Him. verse 18. Where God's love is, there is no fear. Because God's perfect love drives out fear. It is punishment that makes a person fear. So love is not made perfect in the person who fears. I remember the day I fell in love with Marion. I will never forget that day. I don't think she was in love with me at that time. She didn't even know me. And I would have told you, I don't believe in love at first sight. I do now. It's possible. I saw her at a Christmas party. Couldn't speak hardly any German at all, or almost no German at all. I could say Guten Tag, which means hello. Not much more. But that day, I fell in love with her. Saw her, and I just said, wow. And I don't know when, Charlie, but I decided pretty soon thereafter that that's the woman that I wanted to marry. For those of you, well, some of you might remember me. I was a pretty shy boy back in my younger days, my teen years. To talk to a girl was even a scary thing. Just that prospect of talking to a girl. I was always afraid to talk to girls. I would never invite girls out. I thought, why would they even want to go out with me? So I was just afraid of, not afraid of girls, but you know, just forget it. They're not going to go out with me. That was kind of my thinking back in those days. And so I rarely talked to girls. You know, but when I saw Marion, it was different. All of a sudden, because of this love that developed in me, I said, I've got to talk to her. I've got to find a way to talk to her. I've got to find a way to make her like me. And so I put a lot of effort into it. More than I had ever even thought possible. If I couldn't talk to girls in English, how in the world am I going to talk to someone in German? But yet, I found a way because of this love that had developed in me. Love helped me to find a way, is what I'm trying to say. Why do we love God? Because He first loved us. And this is different from any love that we have ever seen. We can't see God. We can't hear His voice. We talk to Him, but there is no audible response. And I think I would be scared to death if there was. On the other hand, we can read Scripture. We can hear God speak through Scripture. We can hear God speak through the actions of others. We know what God has done for us. And even though He is unseen, we can know He loves us. At times we may feel as if He has spoken with us, although that voice is unheard. We may feel loved by Him even though we have never felt His touch of a hand. So how do you say I love you to an invisible, inaudible friend? How do you show God that you care? He says that we show our love to Him by loving even our enemies. Think of someone in your life who needs your concern this evening. Someone who needs to feel loved and cared about. Your care for that person is your love note to God. Let's read verses 19 through 21. We love because God first loved us. If people say, I love God, but hate their brothers or sisters, they are liars. Those who do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And God gave us this command, those who love God must also love their brothers and sisters. Wow. Some might protest. It's easier to love God whom I've never seen because usually it's the seeing that keeps us from wanting to love people, isn't it? We see their faults. We see their weaknesses. We see how hard they are to love. It is difficult to love some people because of their imperfections. It's hard to love people when they offend us. It's hard to love people when we know they could care less about us. So why should love of visible sinners be the gauge of my love for God? Some might protest and say that. The reason, of course, is that in God's scheme of things, love is a costly choice. It is something expressed unconditionally in spite of what I see, not because of what I see. When did God send Jesus? While we were yet sinners. We were ugly. We were not the kind of people God wanted. We were not very nice. We hated and were hated. We warred and people warred against us. But God loved us unconditionally. And He sent His Son to die for ugly, terrible sinners whom we were once in that rank. Loving people who love me is not the test of love. The test begins with these questions. Can I love people who are offensive? People who are abusive? Can I love those who are hard to love? Can you love when it's going to cost you something? Can you love when your own pain distracts you? The point is this. Love for God and love for people are inseparable. Not because I say so, but because God said so. Romans 5:8. We just kind of partly quoted it. But God shows His great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. And then if you drop down to Romans 5:11, it says, through Him we are now God's friend again. Friends with God because Jesus died for sinners. We were ugly, hateful people. But God unconditionally loved us and sent His Son to die for us. Doesn't this love motivate us in any way? Doesn't this want to make us love the people that God sent His Son to die for? Let us pray together. Lord, I have a hard enough time showing love to the ones that I love. Help me to learn to love my enemies. Lord, give me practical, creative ideas that I might love others. Teach me ways to show love, and thereby, Father, help me to show others of Your love. Help me, O my God, so that I might display a trustworthy love, because Your love is trustworthy. Father, in this world, I would like to be like You. When people see me, I want them, Father, to be reminded of You, the God who unconditionally loves them. Thank You for taking away my fear of the judgment day, and thank You for replacing this with trust. Father, help me in all practical ways to express concern for others. Accept this care, Father, as my love note to You. Strengthen me in Your Spirit. Amen. God loves us. If you need our prayers to help you love others, or if you would like this night to wash away your sins in baptism, Then come as we stand and sing our invitation song.